Ladies and gentlemen, we are live! This is the moment you all have been waiting for! It's time for the global sensation, the one, the only, the undisputed heavyweight podcast in the world, the Mass Timber Construction Podcast. And now, here's Paul Kramer, your host.
Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks very much, Bruce, for the fantastic introduction. We have a very special guest on our show today. He's on our editorial board. He's on the East Coast of the United States. And there's a growing movement of people that are passionate about mass timber on the East Coast. So without further ado, please welcome Paul Crivella talking to me about his project on the East Coast of the United States.
You got $250,000 from the USDA for, it looked like, or it sounded like when I was reading it, utilization of New York, specifically forest resource?
Yeah, so essentially when the USDA or the US Forest Service puts out these calls, they're really looking for folks to help stimulate the local economy and do it in a way that benefits our forest system, right? So what we actually responded with was a wood utilization team for New York State. So it's a group that we brought together of collaborators, and we're working on a number of fronts, and we're working at a number of levels, if you will. But the ultimate intent is to move forward with utilization of bio-based products that can be forest-based from throughout the Northeast, if you will, of the US. So certainly there's different timber characteristics in different regions of the country, right? And we've seen the Pacific Northwest sort of take off and develop a strong supply chain. We've seen the Southeast as well begin to develop their supply chain. We're really talking about what are the key components we need to put in place to build that same sort of supply chain infrastructure in the Northeast.
And do you think that this will lead to a genesis of manufacturing of products to a greater extent? I know that there are smaller firms all over the US, but do you think this will attract some large investment, either European investment or local onshore US investment into mass timber products?
Well, we suspect because of really the mixed characteristics of the forests in the Northeast, in terms of the scaling opportunities to take advantage of a monoculture, if you will, that's available in other regions, it's very difficult for us to compete on a commodity basis. And so I think we're looking, Paul, at a mid and small size industrial base to build up with. And what that would look like probably would be something that would be probably Northeast to Eastern Seaboard based, if you will. And so we're really looking to try to sort of foment growth on that front.
And in Australia, we have a divergence of species as well. We have, hardwoods and we have the softwoods, obviously, as a major categorization. But within the hardwoods, there is some specific growth patterns because the tree's engineered naturally, right, by nature. And so some materials sit in the aesthetic sort of zone, so they'd be great for visual appearance grade material, and some are purely structural because they're not highly attractive from an aesthetics nature, and that's generally determined by the amount and the size of the knots in the timber, because that's the way the timber grows. Is your research looking at how you better utilize the resource that's available? Because you can't transform that resource. You're going to assess what's there, unless you, of course, establish more plantations. And then you're going to try and work out how to utilize that better. So some might not even end up in structural, some might end up in visual.
Yeah, so really, you know, we have a similar situation with the mixed forest, and in particular, the existing supply chain has lots of outlets for the higher grades, right? So we have hardwoods that are exported virtually all over the world, right, from these forests. The challenge is always a lower grade material. And so we're looking at a number of different options in a number of different directions. And so among those, we have a project to look at existing buildings, right? And so we have a large existing building infrastructure. 80% of the buildings that will be here in 2050, right, are sitting on the ground here today. And of those buildings, you know, throughout the Northeast, we have a very, we have a much older housing stock than some of the rest of the US, right? So we have buildings that typically, the majority of them were built before we had any energy controls, any energy codes in place. And so for those buildings, we're actually developing a panelized energy retrofit system. And the basis of this would be, again, a non-structural layup of a three-layer CLT that would be the substrate that would be able to carry the panel. And then we're working on both a fiber-based insulation similar to the European products like Gutex or Steico, but we're also working to develop a cellular phenolic lignin-based. And so we have some chem engineers who are experts in those processes and looking to try to improve some of the material properties to get it. So it's a very high insulation performance per unit of thickness. So we're looking at both of those. And essentially, if we're able to push that forward, there is an enormous demand already in the market. We don't have to try to convince people to change the code. We don't have to try to convince people to try a new construction system. We don't really need to do anything other than to offer a competing product on a market that is already moving strongly because of our interest in reducing energy use in these buildings. However, it's not just the existing buildings, I'll say. We are looking at some new construction approaches, but it's still with this low grade material, right? Which is this challenging sort of piece. And so we are trying to think about the existing supply chain. And with that in place, there are softwood mills in place now. Some of them produce lumber that is structural, but some of them also produce non-structural softwood products, right? And at the end of taking off all the high quality material, they end up with this center of the tree, center of the trunk cant, which can vary in size depending on the incoming diameter of the hole, right? So we're taking that and we're trying to take all of that fiber and essentially make an NLT panel that has, if you will, a varying thickness across the bottom profile. So the top surface, right, is planar. The bottom profile potentially could have an architectural approach to it, right? So you can imagine essentially a series of arches, if you will. But what we're doing is we're really not trying to leave any of the wood on the shop floor when we produce these products. What we're trying to take and produce, you really wring every cent out of every fiber that we're purchasing for. So this is a low density material, it's a lower grade. And so structurally, it doesn't have some of the same characteristics as the current products in the market. But there are certain structural systems, particularly multifamily housing, in which essentially the column grid, right, is small enough, or the layout is small enough, that it works very well to use these types of products across those types of spans and such. So we're working kind of, you know, trying to put the pieces together throughout the supply chain to see if we couldn't bring something like that through the tubes. We do have some interest in some four-ply hardwood, softwood, CLT layups, right? So with some, you know, there's been other research done on oriented center lamina, but certainly your point about, you know, hardwoods being attractive in certain instances and providing the opportunity to use a higher value product to provide a higher end product, you know, that's also of interest to us. So as you can see, we've got a number of little fronts we're working on with this grant. And so there's some other grants that are feeding into it, but they're allowing us to kind of push forward and hopefully push forward across scale, right? Push forward with things where we're thinking about the supply chain and we're also thinking about the final product.
And a global phenomena that you've touched on, and it's really encouraging to hear you talk about industry. A global phenomena in the last sort of 10 years has been that authorities or grant funding entities don't generally lend out any money to education institutions without having a significant industry involvement. Is the intention with this particular entity or research group to commercialize it through their own organizational structure, setting up its own company, or is it to push it through the auspices of industry that exists at the moment that has become collaborators with either in-kind contribution or financial contribution to make it work, because it's a great, noble idea. I love it. And I've seen many projects get up, but they generally have this fail-safe mechanism that it's academic research. I'm hearing from you very strongly, this has got a very strong industry focus. Can you expand on that involvement in your project?
Sure. So we essentially, part of the project was starting by working with the mills themselves, right? And better understanding sort of what does it look like for them in terms of what opportunities they have to market their products, right? What would they look for to have a future market for? That said, we have one current in-state mass timber manufacturer, a glulam manufacturer, and then we've been in discussions with another as well. Both of them, it's the chicken and the egg, right? They'd love to see the demand. They'd love to see projects rolling across their board so that they can, you know, put these together. But they both visited campus. We've talked them through kind of the work we're doing. And I think they're both at a stage where they realize the changes that are afoot, and they need to sort of keep their finger on the pulse of where things are going. And so they've talked about potentially investing. But again, we need to work on the demand as well, right? So what we don't have is, you know, a real library of projects that are just flowing through the stream at this point that they can jump in and start to fit these pieces into.
So I guess that's a calling to anyone that's listening to the podcast that is in New York and is hearing about this project and wants to get involved, probably to get in contact through you, through LinkedIn or through the university, and go from there. I think, you know, you've certainly captivated people's interest with the project itself. And I think the way that these projects become more robust and have significantly better outcomes than not is through constant communication and community involvement. And I think if that comes true for you and industry back what you're doing for their own betterment, I think that's a perfect win-win outcome.
Yeah, no, I couldn't be happier, Paul, actually, just to be here today on the podcast with you talking about this very topic, because really one of the things that, you know, in academia, we have a tough time doing is stepping out into the industry and making those connections that we need to maintain constantly to put to true value in our research, right? So, you know, that you've opened the door for me, I can't be more grateful for the opportunity just to put that out there.
No, excellent. And look, good luck with the project. I'll get you back on again. You're part of our team. We'll just call on you every now and then to check in and see how it's going. But yeah, fantastic project. And thanks for coming on and giving that further explainer. I'm extremely excited by it. And we'll give you a bit of a plug for your symposium coming up very soon once that's all sorted out. But that, that'll be grapevine news that we'll talk about very, very soon. All right, mate. Thank you. Brilliant. Yeah, that's excellent. I'm excited by your project. I wish I was in the US in New York.
Well, you know, there's not enough hours in a day, but the good news is I've got a couple of really good graduate students coming on just starting in January, right? So this is what I need, is a little more manpower to run the engine. So it's good news.
Yeah, the movement is moving fast, rapidly, and the spread across the whole of the world is phenomenal, with the US coming online with mass timber now.
Well, I thought you were going to say, and with the US coming online with mass timber, finally.
I wasn't going to add that in, Paul, because that would be 21 in the US. No, good.
I applaud, you know, watching you simply by force of will, essentially making all this happen, right? So I stand in awe as, you know, I try to keep up with my day-to-day activities, and it just seems like you've been able to just keep a lot of balls in the air and do it in a very professional manner. So
I love it. And look,
please keep up the good work. This is the network we need to build piece by piece. So that's perfect. Stay safe, please.
You too.
Take care.
Stay cool.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.